Our scripture lesson for today comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 through 16. Listen how Elijah seeks out God in prayer. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Then the Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazaeli, king over Aram. Also, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshem, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet." Let us pray. Holy God, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand. And open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have ever been down on your luck, disappointed with the way things that have turned out, having a bad day, or just can't seem to catch a break, I'm sure you have felt bummed out. Sometimes people tell us, "Well, you just have to be optimistic or look at the bright side." Though well-intentioned, these types of bromides usually don't help very much. I once saw an interview on TV with the self-proclaimed world's most unluckiest man. He purported to have the worst luck in life. He lost his million-dollar lottery ticket, lost his dog, lost his job, divorced, and his family turned their back on him. When the reporter asked him what really made his life difficult, he said this, "You know how people talk about others seeing life as glass half full or half empty? Everyone tends to think glass half empty people are the ones missing out. Well, in my life, I never got a glass to begin with." From time to time, I think about that guy because he's quite wise. There are those times in our life when we don't get a glass and we think we have to muster the courage and resolve to have broad shoulders able to take the hits in life. What happens when our shoulders are not strong enough to take hits, disappointments, losses, and perceived fails of life? What happens when our losses and disappointments are too great? Today, we consider Elijah as an example of when we reach our limits in life, when we feel like we don't have a glass or a chance to be half full or half empty. We are without a container to place our life in. In Judaism, Elijah is celebrated as the great prophet who was to bring about God's people back into holiness by taking on the wayward King Ahab of Israel, who had been worshiping the Canaanite false god Baal. Elijah is charged with the monumental task of bringing the king and God's people into right relationship. The people of Israel and 450 prophets of Baal were summoned to Mount Carmel, and Elijah builds an altar for God and defeats the prophets of Baal. And fire falls from the sky, consuming the whole event. And Elijah then orders the death of the priests of Baal. Elijah prays earnestly for rain to fall again on the land. Then the rain begins, signaling the end of a famine. Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, wants Elijah dead. Elijah's burned out, exhausted, and depleted by his charge from God. This is the Elijah we find, who wants to just give up and die. Some believe the pain of Elijah was depression. Depression and despair are terrible liars. Depression and despair spin a yarn that says we are worthless or there's no point in living. These messages repeat over and over in the mind and the soul. Thankfully, today, there's a much healthier understanding and concern for mental health, and we have professionals trained to help people through periods of time of pain and anguish. Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of England during World War II, wrote that he was often pursued by the black dog. And the black dog was a code name for his depression. Edgar Allan Poe struggled with despair, if you read some of his poetry that's so evident in it. And it's said that even Abraham Lincoln at times was so depressed when he was a trial lawyer that sometimes he would find himself tied up in an emotional knot, unable to even plead a case because of his depression, which plagued him all the way through his presidency. These individuals of history felt the weight of their responsibilities. Sometimes when we're facing great odds, we feel totally alone. This is where we find Elijah, alone, barely able to eat, carry on, or see any hope. Elijah has done everything for God. He's able to change the destructive practices of Israel and lead God's people into right relationship. Elijah, however, makes one mistake in all of his adventures and call and responsibilities. Elijah makes the mistake that he alone is supposed to shoulder the burden he has to carry. He thinks he alone must have strong and broad shoulders to carry the world on his shoulders as if he was Atlas with the globe weighing down on him. Elijah believes he alone must fix all the problems of the world. You do not have to be an Elijah to find yourself in the position of thinking you alone bear the great weight of responsibility. Parents feel pressure to make sure their children succeed in every way possible. Students feel the weight to do everything right, well, and on time. Employers make demands of our time and resources. Grandparents worry about their grandchildren and their children who are already worrying. On top of all that, we have coronavirus to worry about. Over the years, I've heard people say God doesn't give you more than you can handle. If you didn't know, the Bible never says this. The closest thing the Bible states to this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where Paul writes, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. This means that temptation, struggle, diversity, adversity you face is not unique to you. Someone else before you has gone through what you are going through. And God provides ways and resources for us to deal with the hand that we're dealt with in life. There are times when life gives, not God, gives more than we can handle. Disappointments, loss, death, illness, abuse, broken families, job loss, and more. It's overload. This is the type of overload that faced Elijah. His shoulders weren't big enough, he probably thought. And that is the spiritual reality of life. No one has shoulders big enough to endure everything life throws at us. We can't solve all our problems and the problems of others by ourselves. Dr. George McCausland was one of the greatest YMCA directors the world ever saw. But some years ago, he was serving a YMCA out in western Pennsylvania near Pittsburgh. And in that western Pennsylvania YMCA that was losing membership, it had financial difficulties and staff problems, and George found himself working 85 hours a week. He found himself getting little sleep at night. Well, he took a little time off to try to unload his worrying and fretting about the problems of his YMCA. He went to a therapist who told him that he was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. And he had to learn somehow to let go and somehow to let God into his problems. He didn't quite know how to do that, though. So George took an afternoon off, took a pad of paper, and took a walk in western Pennsylvania woods. And as he walked through the cool woods, he could feel his tight body and his neck starting to relax. He sat down under a tree and sighed. For the first time in months, he was able to relax. Well, he got out his pad and paper and he decided that he would let go the burdens of his life. And he wrote a letter to God. And he wrote this: "Dear God, today I hereby resign as general manager of the universe. Love, George." Then he said coyly, "And wonder of wonders, God accepted my resignation." Is there anyone today who needs to resign as general manager of the universe? Is there anyone who is trying to fix their problems, fix every person, shape up everything, and get everyone just the way you want them to be? Are you trying to shape up children, grandchildren, spouses, or friends, or neighbors during a pandemic? Are you trying to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders? That day, on top of a mountain, God showed up and reminded Elijah that he was not general manager of the universe. When God appeared to Elijah, it was not to scare or intimidate him. No, God came asking a question: "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And God brought up all that earth, wind, and fire, and no, not the band, not to reduce Elijah, but to remind him that he was not general manager of the universe. Elijah did not need broad shoulders to face his problems. No, look what Elijah had: strong knees of prayer. I'm reminded the power of strong knees of prayer from an event almost 2 years ago. You might remember in 2018, a former employee robbed and killed two employees of the Chili's restaurant just across the street from our church. The manager contacted the church and asked if we could lead a prayer vigil. I met with the manager and listened to what the staff had been through. And the pain and the loss and the grief were just immense. How could I lead a prayer vigil to help these people? What could I say to give people a sense of healing? And for days and days, I worried about the vigil. And for days and days, I felt the pressure I was under. And I prayed and prayed for help and what to say. But then I remembered I was not alone. And in turn, we invited our congregants and Stephen ministers to attend the vigil. And I encouraged people to wear their blue DeWitt Community Church shirts and the Stephen ministers to wear their name tags. And at the vigil, our church people mixed in with the crowd. And they offered water and tissues and prayer to those who were dealing with tragedy. Community prayer was the response to such a terrible event. That day I learned I did not need broad shoulders, but I needed a strong sense, strong knees of prayer and the prayers of others. Christian philosopher Soren Kierkegaard once wrote, "A man prayed and at first thought the prayer was talking, but he became more and more quiet until, in the end, he realized that prayer was listening." Elijah had this strong sense of prayer when he communicated with God the deep yearnings of his heart, and God answered, but not in the way that Elijah expected. God reminded the great thing about God: we do not do life alone, for a new king and a new prophet were going to take over. In prayer, Elijah listened to how God was leading. Now, God may not speak to us audibly, but when we are in communion with God in daily prayer, God imparts upon us the gifts and resources that we can use to face life's challenges with others. Prayer is a conditioning for the soul. Friends, I cannot tell you how many people I have served and worked with in ministry who believe that they single-handedly must face life by themselves with broad shoulders instead of strong knees of prayer. May you, when you are facing a situation where the glass of life is half empty or your glass is gone, remember that you are not alone. You have a church family here. May you turn to God in prayer and allow others to journey with you. May you see that prayer with God conditions your soul for the journey that is ahead. And may you see through prayer how God and others will bring new direction and healing. And as I always like to tell people, when you are down to nothing, God is up to something. Let us pray. Almighty God, we, like Elijah, often come to you when we're at the end of our rope, at our wit's end, or when our glass is half full, or when our glass is gone. But God, we pray this week that you can help us see that prayer is that conditioning for our soul, that we're not asked to have strong shoulders, able to take the weight of the world upon them, but no, God, to have strong knees of prayer when we bow, when we place you first in our lives. God, help us in our conditioning and our prayer, that when we pray and that we allow others into our life, that we realize that we're not meant to do life alone. We need others. God, we know that our church family is here, just as our earthly family is with us. Help us reach out when life becomes too hard. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.